Colossians 3:12, if you have your Bible. If you don't, I'm going to read you the right one. You can trust me. And I know people have their Bible on their computer and their phone and all that. I do. But there's just something about holding this thing. There's something. You ever smell your Bible? I love to smell my Bible. I went to the bank the other day and I told the young lady I was making the deposit. I said, can you do me a favor? She said, what is that? I said, can you go back there and get my money and bring it out here and just let me smell it? She looked at me and said, huh? I said, I just want to see it. I said, I keep bringing money up here and I don't ever see it. I said, where's my money at? She said, it ain't back there. I said, where's it at? She pointed at the computer. I said, I can't hold that. I can't smell that. And the same way with the Bible. People say, well, I got my Bible on my computer. Well, I understand that, but it is something about holding it. Ain't there? If you had a bunch of money in the bank, and I went in there one day and I said, I want you to bring all my money out here in nickels. I said, can you do that? And the little, these little girls, they look like just got their driver's license. She got red in the face and said, I don't know. And the manager looked there and said, no. But there's something about holding that Bible. I have worn out Bibles. This is a Bible that I was gave to me at my ordination, and the pages look like that this book was made in this original 1611, you know. Yeah, your daddy made me that cover. I wore out one cover, he made me a new one. His daddy, that's ostrich. His daddy made that for me. And just wear your Bible out. Mark in it. Amen. Mark it. Put notes in it, highlight stuff, because that's your Bible. If you get a blessing, write it down there. You know, write it down. It won't. Who cares what other people think? That's your Bible. Do it, okay? Now, by now, you ought to have Colossians 3:12. If you hadn't, just look there like you do. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Now, listen, he's talking about Christians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, underline holy, and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Amen. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We'll have a call to prayer, fellas, if you want to come pray now. Colossians 3:12. I want to take one word out of that passage. I preached on this recently, but the Lord's just been on me about this several weeks in a row. I've been thinking about it. And as I look around, there's not much of that one word in our world, in our churches, in our homes, in our families. Go back to that verse 12, and he says, put on therefore as the elect of God. God chose us. Holy. Holy. He chose us to be holy. God himself is holy. The definition of holiness, and I want to talk about the holiness of God today, but I want to talk about the holiness of God's people too. Okay, I know we're Baptists, and the Baptists don't like to hear that word, but I want to talk about the holiness of God, and then I want to show you how that holiness should be in God's people since God is in God's people. But I looked the word up, and it said separate from sin in God. Separate from sin. Complete righteousness, holy. And then in man, it means completely dedicated to the God who is separate from sin, without transgression, separate from this world. That's what, when the Bible talks about holiness of the believer, that's what it says. But in God, I want you to notice, it is his character to be holy. If God was not holy, then he could not condemn sin. There'd be no hell if God the Father was not holy, then there would be no heaven because holiness is what's required. That's his standard. Turn to Isaiah 57:17. Maybe you'll understand it a little bit better. Isaiah 57:17. You don't hear this much. Used to be you heard it a lot more than you do now. 57, Isaiah 57:17. We'll start verse 16, probably make a little bit more sense. Well, we'll start verse 15. We'll just read the whole passage. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help you understand it. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made, for the iniquity of his covetousness, which I was wroth, and smote him. I hid him and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I've seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. And what he's saying is, God, as you read, is holy. He's without sin. He's separate from sin. Sin does not dwell in his presence. Sin is not a part of his character. Our character, we have a character born in us of sinfulness. In sin did my mother conceive me, David said. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. That's our nature, is a sin nature. See, we're born after similitude of Adam. Adam rebelled. Adam sinned. You have Adam's blood flowing through your veins. So that makes you a child of Adam. Now, in order to be proclaimed holy, you've got to put something else in you that is holy. And only God is holy. And God says, in that passage, he's talking about condemning sin. He's talking about judging sin. He's talking about judging the sinner and condemning the sinner. But because of his holiness, he has to do that. But then on the other hand, he talks about forgiveness. That's the love of God. That's the other part of his character. He's love. Now, let me tell you something. I know we look at little kids, you know, and we call them all little angels, but their nature is not love. A child's nature is not love. A child's nature is self-centeredness. They want you to love them, but they don't know how to love you back unless you teach them. See? Because they're a child of Adam. Now, God's nature is holiness. He's separate from sin. He hates sin. Sin cannot be in his presence. But at the same time, another part of his nature is love. And he loves the sinner, so he had to make a way to reconcile himself with the sinner and redeem us from the curse of sin. You understand what I'm saying? That's what his son's all about, see? But now, if you just talk about the love of God without the holiness of God, then God does not have the authority nor the right to forgive sin or love the sinner or redeem the sinner. See? Can't buy us back because, see, if he's not holy, if his standard of character is not holiness, pure, perfect, undefiled, without sin, separate from sin, sin can't be in his presence, then he doesn't have the power or the authority to love the sinner and redeem the sinner because he himself would be one. You understand what I'm saying? You still with me? Okay, some of you are. Some of you just sitting there. And the reason is, the reason some of you don't understand is because you don't understand the awesomeness and the severity of the holiness of God. God must judge sin because he's holy. God must condemn sin because he's holy. God must punish the sinner because he's holy. And you don't hear that taught much anymore. All you hear taught is a lopsided God. He's all love. Now God is love, but he's holy too. And without his holiness, his love is useless toward the sinner because if he's not holy, then he can't punish the sinner. How could he redeem a sinner? Y'all with me? God's holy. That's his character. That's who he is. So much so that even redeemed sinners like ourselves, redeemed people who've been bought back from curse of law by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his sin payment on the cross, even though we've been bought back in this body, which still has sin in it, we couldn't even appear before God because he's separate from sin and it would kill us. His holiness itself would kill us. And you see, we've lowered God down. We've dumbed God down just like we have the scriptures. And people have dumbed him down and people have lowered him and preachers. And I blame it on preachers. There's a lot of men that ain't even called, they ought to shut up and sit down, get them a good job and quit that stuff. Amen. And I can say that. I'm a pastor and I can say that because I've been at it long enough. I've been preaching since 1981. I'm licensed 82, ordained 83. So don't tell me I can't say nothing about it. I've been around. I can tell you. Even preachers and pastors and evangelists have left and deserted the holiness doctrine of God Himself. And Christians have made Him into some kind of Santa Claus. And you get your little daily devotional, and there's never a judgment against sin in that thing, and there's never warnings against being sinful in the presence of a holy God in those little things. Most of them, some of them are good, especially if you get older writers, but most of them, it's a little fortune cookie every day. Now I want you to raise your hand. How many of y'all ever went to a Chinese restaurant and got a fortune cookie and it said, "Don't drive today, you're going to have a car wreck"? How many of you ever got a fortune cookie and it says you're going to meet a short, fat stranger? Bald. His teeth fell out. He's wrinkled. No, it always says you're going to meet a tall, handsome, dark, you know, whatever stranger. It always says you're going to inherit a fortune. Have any of you ever got that fortune yet? You should have kept that thing, took it back to the Chinese restaurant and said, "I'm suing y'all for lying to me. I've been waiting on this thing for 30 years. I ain't got no fortune. Doctor said I'm going next week. I got to have it." But see, we brought God down. We haven't, but some have brought God down to their level, to the level of man. Now, see, far as a man, we can't condemn nobody. Because just by the grace of God, we're not condemned. By being a man, we can't judge people because, see, it's just by the grace of God He doesn't judge us. See, I'm not saying we can't judge right or wrong. I'm not saying we can't judge sin. I'm just saying we can't look at people and say, "You're going to hell because of that." Because, see, it's just by the grace of God we're not going to hell because of that. People go to hell because of unbelief in a holy and a righteous God. That changes your life when you receive a holy God. Church has brought him down. He's a Santa Claus. Just ask him. He'll give it to you. He's not going to send anybody to hell. He's a loving God. Yeah, but you're leaving out his holiness. And that's what makes him God in the first place. He's not like Grandpa. He certainly ain't like that Santa Claus that we lie and tell our children is so wonderful. "You better watch out. You better not shout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why." But he ain't God. He don't. Matter of fact, that guy wasn't even born until the 1940s or 50s when Coca-Cola made him up. That's the truth. In America, we never celebrated Christmas like that until the 40s or the 50s. And then Coca-Cola Company made up a big, fat, white-bearded man. There were stories of a St. Nicholas. There wasn't stories of a Santa Claus. They took God out of it. And we've done that with God. We've made him into a congenial, happy, wonderful grandpa that's got all this money in the bank just waiting to give it to you. Well, God said, "I saw their sin, I judged it." Isaiah 57, that's what he said. "I saw their sin, I judged it. I saw it and I condemned it." He said, "And then I offered them forgiveness. I offered them pardon, and they took it." You see, when he saw you, he didn't see a wonderful, possible prospective church member. He saw a dirty, rotten sinner that will burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You say, "I wasn't that bad." How much sin does it take to make you a sinner? One sin. The Bible says transgression of law is sin. That's the definition of sin. Transgression of God's law. Just one law. And you can't even keep the first commandment where you're supposed to love Him all the time with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And we can't even make it past that one. So quit pointing your finger at people that's doing the other ones wrong because we can't even get the first one right. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, that holy God would have to condemn us too. But thank God He opened our eyes one day where we could see it. See? God's holy. That's part of His character. That's who He is. Did you know Jesus Christ is holy? And they've dumbed that down too. He's not a baby in the manger. He's going to be a reigning Savior. But he's the one that lived a sinless life. We couldn't live and died to death. We can't die and rose from the dead the third day that we can't rise from. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's far more than some little baby in a manger. He's holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He is God. He said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. The disciples said, when are you going to show us the Father? He said, you've seen Him. I and the Father are one. We're the same person. I'm in a human body. When you think of me, you think of God. Holy, pure, perfect, undefiled, without sin. Separate from sin forever and ever and ever. Chris Christopherson wrote a song one time, that heathen. I hope he got saved. He wrote a song, You Know Why Me, Lord. Well, we all ought to say that. I don't know if he got saved. He made a profession of faith. But later on, he wrote a song about Jesus being a rebel. Jesus wasn't a rebel. Jesus kept the law that we ain't never going to keep. He kept every jot and tittle of the law of God. He was not a rebel. And he went on to say that's why they killed him. And Romans killed him because he was a rebel against the government. He didn't rebel against the government. He told people, you give unto Caesar what's Caesar's and you give unto God what's God's. He wasn't a rebel. He laid down his life for us. He didn't die because he was a rebel. He died because he is the Savior, the Holy God, in a human body that we can't be, and he died in our place. He was holy, separate from all sin. Let me tell you something. Our churches have lost that. Christians have lost that. We ought to tremble. I'm saved on my way to heaven, been since March 5th, 1978, and we ought to tremble at the thought of standing. I got chill bumps right now. Standing before a holy God and a holy Savior. And it ought to scare us, even though we're saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God. We can't go to hell. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It still ought to scare us in these old mortal, sinful bodies to think about standing before a holy God. These young preachers coming up, they don't study the Bible. They don't read the Scriptures. If they did, they'd see what we see. Psalm 24. Look at Psalm 24. Look at verse 3 and 4. Still with me? Who shall ascend? Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Boy, it gives me chill bumps. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us would qualify to stand in that holy place. We come here today, we say we come to church to worship God. You can't worship God without holiness. And I know we like to say, you know, well, the church is for everybody. And I know we like to say, you know, we're all just sinners saved by grace. And I know we say those things in a way, all those things are true that we say those nice little things. But I've got news for you. When you stand before God, it's going to be a holy place. And we come in here today to sit and stand before a holy God and worship a holy God. We'll consider this a holy place. Without sin. Separate from the sin, separate from the things of the world, separate from worldliness. Well, preacher, you know we got to play this music to bring the young people in. If it's sinful music, it's not going to help them to come. They need to get in a holy place to worship God. God's not going to receive their worship. There's churches all over this world today trying to worship God, and God don't recognize their worship. He don't even see it, Sister Mary. Because they're not considering where they're standing before a holy God in a holy place. And you need the holiness of God to stand in that place. And you receive that by receiving the holiness of His Son. being saved, being born again. But also, don't stop there. You say, well, Jesus saved me, I've got His holiness, I can do anything I want to, and I can go ahead and worship God. No, sir. He saved you, He lives in you, He's holy. But if you don't try to live a holy life and you don't have clean hands and a clean heart, God's not going to receive your worship. A lot of people, the Bible says there's some that worship in vain. You say, preacher, I just don't know what you're talking about. Well, listen, we need to get back to teaching our children. And some of you, listen to me, I know you children. Some of you, your children, your grandchildren, for some reason, maybe you don't think they have to worry about this. They do. For some reason, maybe you think that only adults have to be concerned with dressing right. You're wrong. Maybe you think that only adults have to do right and behave right in order to worship God. You're wrong. Children need to know it. They need to do it. Matter of fact, you like to claim that verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I'm telling you, the problem with a lot of them departing from it is they didn't get trained up in the first place. We'll teach our little girls, we're living in a wicked Sodom and Gomorrah world. We need to teach them how to dress. The school don't teach them that. Their peers don't teach them that. Those stinking Hollywood movies you watch and they watch don't teach them that. And that stinking music you let them listen to, that doesn't teach them that. Teach them just the opposite. You can't hardly get a kid to sing a hymn in the church. They won't even hold a book to act like it's got the flu germs on it or something. I tell you what it is, it's sinful flesh hating holy singing. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, look, mama ain't the only one supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be holy too, and I'm going to show you how to be. And yeah, you're going to look odd. Yeah, we're supposed to look odd. We're peculiar people. Yeah, you're going to dress different. I'll never forget the story Suzanne told when she was a teenager. They went shopping. We was going on vacation or something. And Terry and Becky and Charity or Suzanne, I don't know. But I remember they were trying to find a swimsuit. And everything they found was so revealing. Which, by the way, this was a long time ago. Think about it now. And everything they'd bring out, she said, no, 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 I can't wear that. And they'd bring something, she said, no, 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 I can't wear that. And finally, I think she said, that lady asked her, said, well, why can't you wear these? Everybody's wearing these. She said, my daddy'd kill me if I wore that. What's wrong with that? Look, we got young people in this church that's going to take this church. I'm 63 years old. Some of y'all way past me. And we got to raise them, Mary. And they ain't going to like what we teach them. The flesh doesn't like holiness. Flesh hates holiness. But we got to tell our children, look, if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to worship Him in the beauty of holiness because He won't accept anything else. Stinking preacher up there with old worn out blue jeans with cuts all in them up and down through there and his little old spiked hair and his stinking little t-shirt and his big old high top tennis shoes unlaced and marching around there trying to preach about a holy God, and he's so stinking worldly, he's attracting worldly people and they're raising their children to be worldly church members, and they'll think those of us who believe in holiness are nuts. That's all right. They've always thought that. Problem not with the kid, it's with the parent. In some of y'all cases, grandparents. Grandparents shouldn't raise their grandchildren. I know you have to. Some people have to. But shouldn't have to. Because, see, Sister Mary, I'm not near as hard on my grandkids as what I was my kids. I wish I could be. But I can't. I'm a grandpa. I just can't. We need to teach these young people here about the holiness of God. Now, why, preacher? Well, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Your time's almost up, but I'm going to keep preaching because y'all kept singing. 1 Peter chapter 1. Y'all ain't got a long preacher. Y'all got long singing. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children. He's talking to God's children. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's the old English word. Says whatever you do, if you say it and you do it, be holy in everything. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, that's the way you live, pass the time of your sojourning here in what? Fear. Because there's a holy standard that God holds up for His children. You see, as my children growing up, we had some standards. We do this, we don't do that. We do that, we don't do that. We go here, we don't go there. We wear this, we don't wear that. We listen to this, we don't listen to that. I think it was Charity one time came to me and said, Daddy, why is it we have to do all this and our friends don't live like this? I said, because we've got a book we go by, and they ain't got a book. They just go however it feels, and we don't live that way. We've got the Bible, and we've got a book to go by, and we're not going to live like them. We're going to be different according to what the Bible says, and your friends will never understand that. Well, my child will pitch a fit. Whip them! Well, I just don't believe in spanking children. Cry later, because you're going to be in for some tears later. The Bible don't say spare the rod and spoil the child, but it insinuates it. And it does say don't spare them for their much crying. Matter of fact, another place it says don't spare them because of the blueness of the wound that you just put on them. I'm talking about abusing children. I'm talking about whipping children. My mama used a metal fly swatter when we run out of switches. And she didn't whip me enough. She should have whipped me a whole lot more. Amen. Now look, saints should possess holiness. Well, you're one of them holiness preachers. Amen. If it's in the Bible. Well, preacher, you don't know what people will think of me. Yeah, I do. They think the same thing of me. You nut. You're odd. You're a religious fanatic. Yeah? Amen. 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 You got another one? I'll amen that one too. Amen. You're Islamophobe. Amen. Homophobe. Amen. Any other phobe you got, as long as it points toward the holiness of God, I'll check it off. He said, well, ain't nobody going to have nothing to do with you. He will. Well, they won't let you join the 17 Club. Don't need to. I got a local church. Well, you can't join the Moose Lodge. Praise God. I won't have a hangover and I can go to church on Sunday. Well, they won't let you in the VFW. Glory to God. I won't be in the VFW. I won't have a hangover and I can go to church Sunday. Well, they won't let you in the American Legion. Did you know when we started this church, I called the American Legion and asked them could we rent their hall in order to start a church. And the girl on the phone, I didn't know it, but she knew me. And she told me, she said, Preacher Rod, you don't know who this is. And she told me her name. She said, I'm the bartender down here. And she said, I'll just go ahead and tell you, you don't want to have church in here. It ain't nothing but a bar. Now, that's the one that worked there told me that. And, well, preacher, you're not going to be in the well-known people and the well-respected people. I don't care as long as God loves me and God listens to me and He accepts my prayer. I'll go ahead and do whatever I got to do to please Him, and the rest of them can go and do whatever they want to. I'm not impressed by people anymore. People don't impress me. They don't intimidate me. I'm going to do what the Lord says, and I'm going to fail just like you. But I'm going to get back up and I'm going to brush it off and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be holy. 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 I want to look holy. I want to sound holy. I want to walk holy. I want to sing holy. Hey, I want to be so holy that people call me names. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear it at that other church I was in. Well, sad for them. Because holiness will get your prayers answered. Holiness will get you worship with God. Holiness will get you those feelings you've been looking for. Amen? We should possess it. We'll to seek it. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. It's five after the Methodists are already at the steakhouse. Hebrews 12:14. For those of you that used to be Methodists, you know I'm telling the truth. Hebrews 12:14. The preacher was the first one out the door. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and what? Not compromise. Amen. Without which no man shall see who? You know what follow means? Go after it. Go after it. We'll to seek it. We'll to seek holiness. Some people get saved and they're satisfied. They never seek any more of God. They never seek another touch from God. It's like they bought a life insurance policy and it's being bank drafted. They never have anything else to do with God. They never see anything about God. God's just taking it out of an account somewhere and they're going to be all right. Well, it's not true. They might be saved, but I've got news for you. As a Christian, we're supposed to seek the holiness of God. And God blesses those that do. Did you know Psalm 29:2, and I'm trying to hurry. The Presbyterians are already getting in line. Proverbs 29:2. The Southern Baptists are having their last verse of the invitation right now. Proverbs 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know our church ought to magnify holiness? You know what that means? It ought to lift up holiness. We ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come on. I didn't read it now, y'all. I didn't read it. Psalms 29. I said Proverbs, didn't I? Psalm 29:2. You ought to know not to listen. Anyway. Listen to me. Listen. Quit looking and listen. I read it to you. Wherever it was, I read it to you. A church should magnify holiness. Look here. Everybody look at me. Most of you, if I stood up here on Sunday, and by the way, Sunday night, Wednesday night too. If I stood up here on Sunday and I came in here and I had old tore-up blue jeans and a Hawaiian shirt and a pair of flip-flops, hadn't shaved in 2 or 3 days, and said, let's worship the Lord. You'd sit there and you'd say, I ain't getting nothing out of this. I'm in the wrong place. You know, when I first went to church before I was saved, I expected them to be different from me. You know, I expected them to look different than me and dress different. Sinner's first excuse used to be, I ain't got nothing to wear at church. Now, come as you are and leave as you were. Now, we have people dress all kind of ways to come here. That's fine. You wear the best you got, the cleanest you got, and God's happy with that. And if you're faithful with that, He'll give you a nice suit of clothes. Amen? It ain't got to be a club where everybody dress out, try to outdress anybody. But if I came in here other than the way I'm dressed today, most of you would be disappointed. You ought to have a church where when you can bring friends and relatives and know that if you brought them down here, they'd see some holy living and some holy talking and some holy dressing and some holy preaching, and some holy singing, and some holy people. Well, you know, preacher, we got one of them churches, just come as you are. Don't. You don't know what that means to some people. I used to say short shorts was the biggest curse on women that ever existed. Because most of them that wear them, they buy them 4 or 5 sizes too small to start with. But now, it's tights and stretch pants. Now, you can wear those down here if you want to, but you might get embarrassed. And I don't mean to embarrass people. It just comes out sometimes. But I've seen some people wearing them at the fair, at the parade, wearing tights. And I wanted to holler,
Those are meant to be worn under something. I don't want to see that.
Remind me of that song, The Streak.
Don't look, Ethel.
Too late. Got moon in the vegetable section or something. You see, a sinner don't know where to draw the line. When it comes to holiness, they don't know where to draw the line. Now, y'all know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If lost people come in here, they expect you to be different. Now, they go to that other hippie church because they know everybody over there is just like them. They can have a good time, still live the way they live. And don't know, nobody's going to question them. Nobody's going to say anything. As long as they throw a couple of dollars in an offering plate and come back every once in a while. By the way, if you don't come, there ain't nobody coming to look for you because they don't care if you come or not. They're having a good time. It's got nothing to do with the holiness of God. It's got nothing to do with judgment. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's about having a good time and we worshiping God. You're worshiping something, but it ain't God. The church ought to manifest holiness. When people walk in here, Sister Mary, and you're on the front, I can't help it. Your husband's gone, okay? When people come in here, we ought to be at least holy enough where they'll be convicted of their sin. When I first started going to church, my mother-in-law got me to go a few times. God bless her heart. Best mother-in-law ever lived. But after that, when we started going down there to the east side, you know what I'd do? We had two babies. And I'd try to carry them. You know why? I didn't want nobody to shake my hand. I was scared of them. I didn't feel like I was worthy to shake those people's hands. And we'd go out the back door. You know why? Not because I hated the preacher. Not because I hated those people, but because I didn't want to be around those people because they made me nervous. I thought they were holy people in God's house. Worshiping the holy God. I knew I wasn't holy. And when sinners come in here, yeah, I felt like I was welcome and they ought to feel welcome. But if they're lost and going to hell, they ought to feel convicted. If they're backslidden worldly, they'll feel convicted. This ought to be a place that changes people's lives. Not okay their lives, but changes people's lives. We may never have the biggest church. I doubt we ever will. But we'll have a place that manifests the holiness of God and the holiness of God's people. And let me tell you something. As long as I'm in here, I'm going to do my best not to let you get embarrassed about what goes on here. That's my job. And I'll tell you this. As long as I'm pastor here, I'll do my best. If you bring friends, you bring family, they will be convicted by the Word of God. And they will be convicted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they will be drawn by the love of Christ if you bring them in here. You'll never be embarrassed as long as I'm here. Not if I got anything to do with it. And if something happens that does embarrass you, I'll apologize and fix it. Maybe we're not the best people in town, but we try to be. Maybe we're not the best church in town, but we try to be for God's blessing, not man's. Yeah, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this week, we've had things to be forgiven of, but because we do seek holiness, we seek forgiveness, and we seek righteousness in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ through His blood. Probably before the day's over, you're going to do something today or say something or not do something or not say something you should. And listen, immediately if you're trying to be holy, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And immediately you'll say, Lord, forgive me, I ought not have been like that. And immediately the holiness of God will be shed abroad in your heart. We need to quit making excuses for sin. Lord, quit making excuses for our loved ones. We'll just live right the best we can. And sometimes look at them and say, look, you need to be better than you are. Now, you can't be saved without it. He said that in Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no man shall see God. You're going to have the holiness of Jesus Christ. He's going to have to put that on you and in you, because you'll never be holy enough to see God. The Islams are trying to do that. The Buddhists are trying to do that. But we know that every day we need the help of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And by doing that, you're seeking His holiness. And by seeking that, you find Him. And by finding Him, you'll find heaven. We can't serve without holiness. You know, some days, last night I went to bed and I thought, well, I wish I wasn't a preacher. I'd just lay out of church tomorrow. I'm so tired. But the Holy Spirit said, you can't do that. You're the pastor. Everybody else, Danny can do that. Billy can do that. Ron can do that. But you can't do that. You got to preach. And you got to be an example of holiness. And endurance and patience and faith and hope. And wouldn't it be good if we just all thought like that?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why some people don't invite people to church, because you ain't too sure you're coming yourself. You're afraid if you invite them, that would be the day you decided to be a holy roller and roll back over and go to sleep. But the holiness of God will make you do things you don't want to do. Your flesh. Now listen to me, y'all. If you're not saved, you need holiness to go to heaven. And you're not going to find it on your own. Doesn't matter how many times you're in church, get baptized, you're going to have to get to Jesus Christ and let Him give you the holiness to get you to heaven. But then if you're going to serve God, you're going to serve God. You serve God. You serve God. I never would have believed it, but you serve God. You serve God. Most everybody here is serving God in some capacity. I never would have believed it on some of you if you saw that little boy I used to know. But let me tell you something. If we're going to serve Him, we're going to have to seek holiness. Because He's not going to accept our worship. He's not going to accept our work unless we put on a higher standard than what we normally have. I don't care what they call me. I'm going to heaven. He's adopted me and given me His holiness. I don't care what they say. I'm going to be different because I want the power and the presence of a holy God on my life. I want my prayers to be answered. I want people to be saved that I witness to. I want my children to turn out right. I want my grandchildren to turn out right. And that requires holiness. And I'm going to seek it. And I'm going to fall down. This week I've probably fallen 15 times. But I'm going to get up and brush off, ask Lord forgive me, and I'm going to seek it some more. And sooner or later, I'm going to see God with these eyes. Standing in His holy presence because of His holy Son who produced holy faith within me. It's all about Him. Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your holy word.